Our meditation for this morning's Reformation worship service is going to be based upon our gospel and Jesus' response to the Jewish people who seem to have forgotten that their ancestors were slaves in Egypt. The message that if one listens to and believes what he says, they will then be free from slavery to sin. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The subject of slavery is a sensitive one in America. In fact, the Greek word for slavery, which is doula, in many of the more recent New Testament translations of the Bible, is often translated as servant, perhaps so as not to offend somebody. But doing so only lessens the impact or the lesson that is being conveyed by the scriptures, that being bound or held captive to someone or something in body and will. For you see, a slave cannot quit or walk away when they dislike their master, whereas a servant can. So you can see the distinction between the two words. It is important. But whether you find the subject matter of slavery distasteful or not, the fact remains that the institution of slavery, owning another human being, is an ancient one. One that God did not intend, yet one that has flourished throughout human history. In fact, contrary to popular belief, it continues to this very day. Modern-day slavery is often referred to as human trafficking, and last year it was the second largest criminal industry after drug trafficking, reaping in an estimated $32 billion. And women and young girls account for nearly 71% of those who are held against their will and forced into labor, marriage, sexual relationships, or some other form of exploitation under threat of violence. That means that in our world, one in every 130 female adults or children are in some form of slavery. In places like Africa, Asia, or the Middle East, although America is hardly immune, but for many of us, it's almost hard to believe that an institution such as slavery has been able to continue unabated for thousands of years right up into the 21st century. But it has. Of course, the Jews certainly knew firsthand of slavery, for they were held captive as slaves in the land of Egypt for some 430 years before God heard their cries for mercy and set them free with his mighty arm, subjecting Pharaoh and his nation to the 10 plagues. In fact, it's hard to find a psalm in the Bible that doesn't reference it, which makes the people's interaction with Jesus a little odd, to say the least. We are the descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone, they said in response to Jesus' claim that his words would set people free. So what's going on? Well, a couple of things. The first is that the people failed to recognize that they were slaves to their sins, and as such, had no capacity whatsoever to walk away from them, that they needed someone to set them free from that condition. And the second thing has to do with the truth. What is it? Who possesses it? And does it even exist? Of course, as we all well know, any sort of assertion that only one person or group has the absolute truth will always be met with disdain or even outright hostility. I know a lot of us think the times in which we are living in is unique to this phenomenon, but you would be wrong. It's been that way since mankind's fall into sin. Moses had to deal with it. We see Jesus having to deal with it in today's text, and Martin Luther had to deal with it in his day, as do we in our own. And so you'll often get pushback to sharing the message that Jesus and Jesus alone can set us free from our slavery to sin, and that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one will ascend to the Father who is in heaven without having faith in him. And furthermore, if you choose to remain bound in your sins at the time of your death, understand those chains will forever prevent you from entering paradise. And that's the God-honest truth. And here is another truth. We are all born as slaves to sin. But St. Paul encourages us to follow his example and to voluntarily become a slave to Christ, to bind ourselves to him and his words, because doing so will result in our freedom from sin. Indeed, every time you read one of Paul's epistles, he always identifies himself as a slave of Christ. Although, again, your Bible is most likely translated as servant of Christ, but in the original Greek it's doulos, slave. And as Jesus in our text for this morning points out, we are slaves to someone or something. You just need to figure out who or what the master of your life is. And it's whatever determines what you do, how you act, what you say, and what you believe. In short, what is it that determines or sets your priorities in life? It all rather reminds me of the story of a country newspaper running a series of articles on the value of church attendance, and they contained testimonies from those who made Christ the number one priority in their lives. One day, the editor got a letter from a local farmer in response to all those articles, which the editor printed in the opinion column at the end of the week. In it, the farmer ridiculed all those who wasted their time going to church and reading their Bible. This farmer went on to write, "I don't go to church. Instead, I work. I plowed my field on Sunday morning. I planted my corn on Sunday morning. I cultivated it on Sunday morning, and I just harvested my fields this past Sunday morning. I did all that, and lo and behold, my yield this year was just as good as my neighbor, who wasted all his time making church and Christ his priority. Sorry, friends," the man continued, "but there is no difference between me and you." The editor replied the next day, writing, "Friend, your mistake is in thinking that God always settles his accounts in October. Someday, friends, God is going to settle his account with you and me. What will the ledger of our life read?" Our truth is that our master is whoever or whatever dictates how you and I live our lives. To whom are we bound? What's our number one priority? Is it family, children, sports, money, occupation, drugs, alcohol, sex, God? And this was our Lord's point in his discussion with the people that day, that they did not perceive the chains of sin and unbelief with which they were bound, which is why Jesus tells us that he came from heaven to set us free, not from bondage to a foreign government, as the people were hoping, but freedom from sin and an eternity in hell. And this is what ultimately led to the Reformation. You see, Martin Luther just simply wanted to free his people's consciences that were being held captive by their sins, and he wanted to alleviate their tortured souls that were still fearful of the final judgment. For in Luther's day, the message of the cross and that Jesus has freed us from condemnation to our sins had become lost in a maze of all kinds of unbiblical ideas that had found their way into the church, doctrines that had clouded the certainty of our salvation and freed him from bondage to sin. So he set out to make the truth known, and it began with his posting of the 95 Theses on October 31st, 1517. So basically, what we are celebrating here today is the truth, the absolute truth, that my sins and your sins will not be held against us when we die, for Jesus has atoned for them when he died on the cross, thus setting us free from them. Friends, if Jesus is your master, the master has the power and the authority to set you free, and then you will be free indeed to live as a redeemed, forgiven child of God. And he has set you free through your faith in Christ and his grace shown to repentant sinners. Today you are free from sin, free from a tortured conscience, free from the devil's accusations, and free to live for an eternity without the effects of a broken, fallen world. For if the Son has set you free through faith in him, you are free indeed. To the glory of God. Amen.